Thank the light, everyone. I am Desmond McNeese, and this is my hetero life mate,
Fatty the Chef, or Parched Ailman on the Bird app.
So before we get too into this, what kind of a spoiler alert do we need to give people? Are you going deep, or are we just going to kind of dip our toe in a little bit like we've been doing?
I kind of want to go deep. I mean, like, I want to say it's about, what is the spoiler, from green to, like, red? I would say yellow to orange on the spoiler alerts, because I do want to get into some, like, kind of predictions and stuff that, you know, I kind of know that happens, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen in the show. It's maybe more stuff that I want to happen, so it could be somewhat spoilery.
So definitely book spoilers, and we'll see if there. And for me, like, I was really spoiler worried mostly about the dragon. And since they have told the whole world who the dragon is already, then, you know, us telling us who's fucking who isn't really a big deal.
Yeah. You know, there's plenty of background characters. And, like, I think one of the things that I'm going to get into on the podcast is that Rafe was like, hey, you know, we can't keep around 2,000, you know, characters for two paragraphs here and there. I'm pretty sure. I mean, maybe Agomar's not dead, but, you know, like, he looked pretty fucking dead when he got that stake in his chest. So,
well, and, like, it, for a minute, I was thinking it was an artistic choice for them not to show Matt a little bit. But then I realized, no, they shipped him off. He's already gone. And, like, because if Matt had been signed up for the long haul, we would have cut to him a couple times in the last two episodes. And we did not.
Yeah, and he definitely, like, that his little goodbye in episode 6 was definitely his goodbye. And I don't know. Dude, the way they wiped him from stuff, I almost figure, I don't know if it was maybe something bad happened or if it was COVID-related, anti-vax, you know, like, I have no idea, but they wiped him from the promos and a lot of stuff. I don't even know if he did, like, the premiere and all that. So it's just weird how they kind of just was like, boom, and they don't want to talk about it. So I'll be curious to see if anything comes out. He was a really great Matt, but apparently the guy from The Witcher is supposed to be really good too. I'll be more curious to see how they kind of handle the transition from Matt to the other guy, because he looks pretty different.
Do you think he gets in, he goes through the Waygate with them, if not for this character change?
Yeah, he should have.
Okay, then that was definitely a choice based on this situation then.
Yeah, I think they definitely kind of had to make a creative choice. But they say it's going to be seamless the way he comes back in. Like I said, we'll probably get into that once we get into that. I was like, I'm so unprepared. And then I went through stuff and I'm like, well, I got two pages of shit. So
So the new guy coming on, just to let you guys know. So we're going from Barney Harris, who is Matt Alpha. And next season we will have Donnell Flynn. Who's about just as unknown. They both have about 6 things on their IMDb. The Witcher is the biggest thing, which I haven't seen. But he's only was in, I think, 1 episode, so.
Oh, really? Yeah, The Witcher is good. I didn't know a lot about it. I didn't really play the video games. I had a buddy who I was working with at the time that played the video games, and he really loved them. So, and I watched the show with really no background, and I was like, this is good. I enjoyed it.
He's not too bad. I think, you know, especially since he's supposed to be a little, you know, dark circles under his eyes. The dagger will have done some damage to him. I think this guy's going to fill in just fine. And then by the time he cleans himself up, we will have forgotten all about Barney. No offense, Barney. I hope.
Yeah, Barney, you were amazing. If you ever hear this by some weird random chance in hell, I'm sure you won't. But you were amazing and a great Matt. But the thing is like, I just, whoever it goes forward with, like, he better stay the course, because Matt is too awesome of a character to play around with. Like, he's just he's so good.
Yes, I know. I love him. He's our little scoundrel. So
yeah, for sure. And dude, and like the thing, and then here's a little spoiler. It's like what he goes through. It's like, you know, Perrin and Matt and Eggy and Nynaeve and Rand, they all develop their own kind of power, and some of it is literally the power, and some of it's, you know, their own thing. Like Perrin's power doesn't have anything to do with the power, but he's as strong as Rand in some ways. He can go into the world of dreams, and he's stronger than channelers because he learns it well. And the Aiel, they are dreamwalkers by trade. And that's another thing we were kind of debating. It's like, you know, Aes Sedai have a real high opinion of themselves. And like, you know, they think that people have, oh, if, you know, you'll die if you don't learn how to channel the power. It's like, well, you know what? There's lots of ways to cook a fucking steak. Okay. And, you know, there are Aiel channelers called wise ones. And, you know, and some of the wise ones can't channel, but they hold just as much esteem as the one who can channel. And even ones who can't channel, I believe, can do dreamwalking. Perrin can't channel at all, and he can go into something called the wolf dream, but it's the same place, and he can stop weaves of the power that should be impossible to stop. And like, people look at him and go, you shouldn't be able to do that. And he's like, it's just a weave. I just imagined it unraveling. What's the big deal? I'm a blacksmith. It's not that hard. It's just metal. You beat on it, and I have my mouth open for the entire first season. The way of the leaf is stupid. This kid's gonna find me and beat my ass.
He's taking in the source through his gaping maw.
Yeah, this is sad mouth. Dude, the thing is, it's like, I can see, like, when he comes into his power and his own, I think this kid's going to be great. I think he's really going to be great with the physical acting. He's not so much great with the face acting. But the physical acting part of it, and when he gets to speak, he's really pretty good. So I'm excited to see, because Perrin's a really great character. So I really hope they get into his core arc, because he's awesome. Before we get too far into this, yeah, spoilers, and there's going to be zero segues because I have ADD. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I'm glad you mentioned that to him. Yeah, we didn't get much of a chance to summarize last week. I got to keep these kind of short so I can bang them out.
Yeah.
This one, again, we'll keep around an hour because I'm still doing holiday shit with the family. But yeah, this is our chance just to be like, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Did I forget to mention that? And so hang on tight, people.
Well, yeah, so I would just say, like, my overall thoughts as a book reader is I loved all the changes they made, while even some that maybe I didn't like. I don't want to say I didn't love or I didn't agree with, because it's like, I'm not a showrunner. It's just something that's like, oh man, maybe I would have like the Aiel thing we talked about last pod. It was just kind of like, maybe they could have showed, you know, but I think it's like, you get too far. The force? Well, that's your answer for everything. It's like, well, if I tried to give you the real answer, you'd probably fall asleep, because it's too in-depth to get into. And most TV watchers don't need that thing, you know? And it's just like...
Well, and something I thought of too is that, like, I bet you even Robert Jordan would be like, okay, knowing now what you know after book 10, would you have changed anything in book 1? And I guarantee you he'd be like, yeah, maybe I would introduce this a little bit, or maybe I would have pulled back on that knowing that I was going to get to it more in book 5. Like, in these people, the showrunners have the ability to see everything and decide the best way to slot it in for a long story, not just trying to survive one book at a time.
Yeah, and I think the one reason that, like, in the long run, this will be better than A Song of Ice and Fire is it's finished. It's finished. You know, it's done. And, you know, while you can have a lot of fun with that, if it's done in a way that you don't love, especially if, you know, if you were George R. R. Martin and you didn't love the way that things, obviously he's probably loving the way they're going because they're making another thing. But it's just like, if it's not finished and they go a direction that you didn't want, you're kind of like, oh, dude, that sucks. So,
well, it's going to be funny when R. R. Martin learns from poor feedback from the show. Because he told the show what he was going to do, but now he's gotten all that feedback too. And he's like, oh, actually, I should take this character in this direction because they didn't like it when they went that direction in the show. And then people will bitch backwards.
Yeah. I know. George R. R. Martin's pissing me off. I've seen him interview, and he's just, I don't know. Just finish the fucking book, guy. I mean, it's been a long time, and it's like, I get it. You're working on other stuff, but it's like, dude, it's like, maybe that's part of the marketing. It's like, oh, it's not done. Who knows what'll happen? But it's just like, I think that this will be better because it's a fully finished story. And so I don't know. I can't speak like, oh, I totally, this is how I feel as a non-book reader. So you maybe can expand on, like, do you feel like the story, like, do you need me to explain a lot? Or do you kind of grasp the basis of what they're building as a non-book reader? And would you be interested if it wasn't for me explaining stuff? Or, you know, I'm curious.
Yes.
The short answer is yes.
Sorry, I zoned out a little bit. I'm looking at, I'm trying to find, I'm just kind of looking at the characters because, like, I want to check out some other things that these actors have been in. And I'm not having a whole lot of luck. But Kelly is, so I downloaded the audiobook recently, and it's somebody reading it. Kelly just downloaded it, and I don't know if it came available just in the last since I got mine, but her book is being read by Rosamund Pike, which I think is kind of cool. Yeah,
and that's definitely got to be new.
And she's like doing voices and shit and all kinds of stuff. So Kelly's really excited.
Cause like, that's one of the things me and Lisa try to listen to him. And like, it's Kate reading is the woman and the man is, just, and they're good, like in a classical sense, but it's like a little Shakespearean. And Lisa's like, I can't fucking listen to this. I'm like, it's so good. She's like, I'm trying, baby. I love you. I'm trying, but
if you say so.
Well, she's such a literal person though. You know, it's like, she really has, it's like, I like it cause you like it. But just like, when it comes to that kind of stuff, she's just a little too based in reality. To really, she's like, but like the suspension of disbelief. I'm like, that's easy for me because I just like, I love lightsabers. I don't care if they're not real.
Like, but they don't exist. Yeah. Tell her to check out Time Pop sometime.
But so, I mean, like as a non-book reader, like, could you follow the story, you know, enough to want to be like, what's going to happen next?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. So back to where I zoned out. Yeah. Especially, like I said this last time too. I think season two is, I'm really, really excited about it because this was a lot of setup and a lot of getting our characters established so that we can split them up. You know, I'm sure we're going to spend a lot of next season separated. And I really like this universe and I'm ready to play in it. So
yeah, it's really awesome. And that's one of the things he was great about. Like, and the things I love is like able to, you might not have a ton of reference for what's what yet, but you are seeing like, even the, when they go back to the dragon, it's like, obviously he's from a different part of the world than that lady was, you know, looking at her jewelry and the haircuts and stuff. And that's one of the things I think that they're absolutely killing. I don't know if non-book readers will have as much appreciation for it as they should. I've seen a lot of appreciation from non-book readers about it. But as a book reader, it's like, dude, it's so good. Everything's so good. Like one of Moraine's, like when she's got the dress on and the jewel on her forehead, it's just like, dude, I didn't know that was Rosamund Pike when I was reading the books, but it was. I didn't know she was a wizard, a lady wizard.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you want to go?
I mean, like I said, I just mostly was wanting to see how you felt as a person. I think that they're doing a good job. Because I see people who are like loving it as like people who have like me who have loved it for and like, oh, see, this is that thing I told you about. And you didn't want to commit to reading 15 books. You want to check out this show. Sure.
Yeah. And I'm also people like, and I'm staying true to form too. Like I was reading Harry Potter until the movies caught up. And then I just went with the movies. Like I am, if the... I want to enjoy reading more, but I just, the short answer is I'm a slow reader. That's the short
answer.
I'm
a pretty fast reader. That's why I like to read, but it's like, it's kind of hard to sit down and like, oh, I have ADD like a motherfucker too. So it's like, it's hard to get into a place where you're like, I'm going to knock out 3 hours and I can read a couple hundred pages probably in a couple hours. I remember reading The Deathly Hallows as like this, we went to Belize and it was like it was when the last one was coming out in the theater. So it was really cool to be reading it alongside. Harry Potter is one of the most true adaptations ever. Like I think back and I can't remember the difference between the books and the movies because they're so few. And it's like, they're both just really straight across and done super well. They really don't get enough credit for how good those movies are.
I have... Justin, everybody out there, Justin is definitely a fast reader because I lived with this cat for 5 years. I never saw him read a single page, but once a month he would tell me about this book he finished.
I did, man, because I read them all and then I reread them. I've read them at least, people talk about it, I've read each book at least 5 times and like, the first 5 and the last 3 I've read 10 times.
Really?
And I've listened to them all at least 5 times. I'm listening to The Great Hunt right now, which is good. That's going to be where my spoilers come in mostly when I was talking about stuff. Cause there's mostly just things that I kind of hope to see you know, I want to see more, you know, Rand channels a lot, but it's kind of unconscious. So I'm wondering, I think that's kind of why they did it this way, is because they want to have him, they want to have him be able, like how they kind of had Ishmael show him, like, oh, you just do this. It's like, because he really didn't consciously channel. And there were times when, like, you know, they would get attacked or something and he'd want to channel and he couldn't. And he would just be like filled to the brim with Sidene, like, I don't know what to do with this shit. And, you know, so, and then he couldn't do anything. And then he gets to the point where he starts channeling this fire sword that's like his Heron Mark Brilliant. It's pretty lightsabery. I'm hoping that they do that. It's pretty cool. I'm crossing my fingers on that.
I am really enjoying, sorry, cut you off, but I'm just.
No, please.
Just taught, you know, you asking about a non-book reader. Like, I'm really liking rewatching these. Like, I haven't watched them since the end of the season, but I just kind of like throw them on in the background. And I hear little things, like stuff that, like, we'd be talking during the episode and you would correct me about something. And I would think in my head, like, well, he only knows that because he read the books. But now I'm like rewatching some of these episodes and I'm like, oh, they did fucking say that in the episode. There's just so much going on that it flew by me.
Yeah.
And now that I'm rewatching it, it's like, there is, like you said, like things, and this goes to all the people complaining, like, you know, they're dropping a word in the middle of a sentence that explains a whole paragraph. And
yeah, it's like I was saying, you know, they're trying to, you know, wrap three chapters of emotions into like a 30-second conversation. And it's like, if you pay attention, and honestly, like I today was the first day, I think I watched it twice even. And then I was the third time because like I watched it and then rewatched it. And then Lisa and I watched it this afternoon. I didn't see that the Aglomar get the you know, when they broke into the keep and got, you know, speared by the Trolloc. So, I, you know, it's like I'm catching stuff on rewatch, and definitely, you know, they've nuanced it up so much. If you pay attention, there's this every little, that's why you're like, what about the baby? I'm like, I don't know, but I bet it matters.
Nothing's going to go away. Like, they're, again, that's something that they have such foresight that they can just breadcrumb the shit out of it. And I am.
Well, it sounds like they're halfway done with season two. I think they've been shooting in Prague. And so I don't know if they're going to try to turn it around even faster, but I think the HBO's House of the Dragon is going to come out pretty soon. So they're probably going to try to time the releases opposite of that. So you get that same kind of people who are like, oh, I'm kind of thirsting for this kind of story. And then, you know, definitely different, but, you know, similar kind of fantasy epic type stuff.
Okay, I just finally found it. I've been digging around everywhere just trying to figure out. I was hoping they were going to do an 8-episode season two or even a 12.
Like it if you were more engaged in this podcast, please.
I know. I'm talking to the people. You talk to the people, then I talk to the people, and then when I edit it later, I'll hear all the awesome things that you say. But yeah, it's only going to be 8 episodes, which is kind of disappointing. I would like a longer season, but they're also going to be able to turn it around faster, so you might be right,
yeah,
that they try to do it in the summer instead of next holiday.
If you stick with 8 episodes, then I want to see at least 9 seasons, because honestly, like, there's like a middle book. I can't remember which book it starts on. It's like 8, 9, 10 or something like that is kind of a slog, man. It's like, it's a lot of stuff and it's introducing new characters that matter to the subplots of that book. But, you know, it's just like, you know, I don't want to say you could do without them because there are important things that happen in those books, but you could combine 3 books or 4 books into 1 season and you wouldn't miss too much of a beat. Cause this whole story, I think, is supposed to take place over like 3 years, 4 years. Like, it's not a long time.
Whoa, really?
Like, from the time they leave Eamon's Field, or, you know, the Two Rivers, to the time the last battle, I think it's like 4 years, 5 years. I have to look it up to be sure, but it's not a long time.
Wow. I mean, I guess, yeah. I guess I assumed it didn't, like, these people weren't going to be 30 at the end of the story, but I didn't think it was going to move that fast. Like, that's...
Right, yeah, no, it's a lot happening in a short amount of time, you know, so, and like, you know, I'm sure their budget's going to get better. I'm sure that Rafe Judkins is going to have more creative control because of the success of the first season. And I can only imagine that it will get better with more input because people who care about it.
I see a season 3 on here. Like, if I click on season 2, there's actually some info because they've started it, but they have put a season 3 tab in there. So there's a good chance that
I think they're going to start casting for it. or they probably already have, but you know, but that was the reason of the, you know, I was kind of like, fuck man, if they kill Loyal and Uno, I might have to quit this. I'm just kidding. But like, it's like, I think they are getting ready. It's like, you know, that's one of the things you kind of do get to the end. And it's like, well, you know, it's kind of weird how so many people from the beginning of the book just live right through the last battle. It's just amazing. It's like a Disney movie.
Dun, dun, dun. But,
you know, so I think it's good that they're going to do that because there's a lot of guys that could, you know, die noble or not so noble deaths that will help with the storytelling, I think, 100%.
Yeah, and I'm fine. The way I always think of it, because it's easy to watch any story and just be like, oh, what a shocker, this guy survived. I always think of every movie I watch is told after the survival of the experience.
Right.
So, of course, we're seeing the survive, like, you know.
We're right in the middle of the whole story, you know. It's not being told after the fact.
Yeah, few stories are told by the guy who died in the middle of the battle.
It's weird how nobody knows that guy's story.
No one.
What did happen to that guy? He died with a sword in his neck.
He did.
And a boot on his face.
That guy's dead.
Dude, also, you know, little, I'm wondering if the, in the middle of the screen, go back and watch it, right when they're kind of zooming out to their, you know, futuristic metropolis, there's a big, like, kind of like hole in the middle of the thing. And it's like, I wonder if that's the eye of the world, because it's just kind of like a little, you know, thing, just a thing I put out there. So,
did the blight start because of the combat of the men and the women? Is that what birthed the blight?
I don't think so. I forget the actual origins of Sheol Gul because there's so much to remember, but it's called the boar, and it's like the kind of like, I don't know. What do you want to call it? Wormhole between worlds. That's why the setup with the little battle that didn't make much sense with Rand and Ishmael. It's like, what did Rand actually do there? You know, so, but that's kind of set up for their kind of final confrontation, or, you know, the final confrontation with Rand and the Dark One, because it's, you have people who are in the world of dreams affecting it. Rand's kind of in the world of dreams and the waking world at the same time. Parents going back and forth between the two. You know, you have people who are in the real world watching Rand's back so he can't get attacked by people who are there because he's kind of frozen in time. It's they're just setting up for, it's like, there's a lot of layers to this shit, and it's, God, I'm so excited.
It's yeah, I'm excited too about the, like, you keep saying it, and I can't wrap my mind around how much time it sounds like they're going to spend in the dream world.
a lot. But, and it's like the time moves different there, kind of like the ways. And it's like, they go back and forth a lot. The Forsaken, which Ishmael is one of the Forsaken. I was a little bummed that they didn't introduce any other Forsaken here, because, you know, there was two at the end of the first book that are kind of important, but, you know, you can kind of do without them too. One of them gets kind of reborn later, so I'm kind of curious how that's going to go. But have you started to listen to the Eye of the World at all yet, or not really?
I
don't, lie to me.
No, well, I feel like I might have I feel like I might have, like, literally listened to like 15 minutes of it and then realized, like, I gotta at least listen for the first couple chapters, you know. If I'm kind of listening while driving and zone out later, it's not as big of a deal. But or I may not have started it at all. I can't remember.
Dude, I might try to go through and, like, look at my audiobook chapters and try to, like, send you.
No. I need to. I need to listen. Yeah. Especially if Kelly really gets into it. Like, if Kelly only listens to a chapter or two and is like, not for me, then maybe not. But if she gets into it, then she'll basically make us go for a drive and listen to it, which would be a lot of fun.
That's what's up. Tell her to just, as long as she gets through, like, Winter Night, if she still doesn't like it after that, then that's okay.
Is that like book three or four, or is that chapter?
No, it's a chapter. Here, I'll actually look it up and tell you what chapter it is right now.
I'm going to take a quick little break in the middle of this podcast to give a shout out, people. This is a shout out to Mama Mug. Mama Mug. There's a lot of M's in your name, Mama. Anyways, I just want to thank you so much. We've gotten a couple of ratings, but you gave us a review, and it makes me excited that we got a review, but it makes me even more excited because you are who we're making this show for. Like, she has friends that are into it. She wants to get into the books. She likes reading books, just hasn't been able to bite off all of this content, and is really excited that it is now in a TV show. And she feels like this podcast represents kind of where she's at with the whole universe. So thank you so much.
Which was exactly our goal. So
yeah, totally.
Because that's like, I want to be able to do it and be able to explain. Like I said, I've been wanting to do this and talk about it with a community of people for 20 years. I guess I dismissed, I'm not a big Twitter guy until recently. And it's like the community on there is like, maybe I just happen to have a bunch of positive people, but man, they're awesome. I'm going to throw a few shouts out at the end because of these, a lot of these things I'm bringing up or stuff I've talked about with these people, and they got a lot of the love for the show that we do. And it's really cool to talk about stuff and theorize and speculate. And it's as good as the show almost, you know, it's so much fun.
Patty is very active in there. We're both signed into the same Twitter feed. I every now and then I'll like something or respond to something, but I'm enjoying just being a part of all of his conversations and just kind of reading along who he's chatting with online. And yeah, everyone is just, like you said, super excited, and what a great community.
Yeah, it's super great, man. It's super great. And like, I just started listening to, hey man, there's a segue almost, actually. That's great. I started to listen to The Great Hunt, and you know, it's The Great Hunt actually is, besides the kind of the end ones, it's, you know, the first three are, first five are just a breakneck speed. And it's like, I go back and forth. It's like sometimes, but The Great Hunt, I think, is probably my favorite book. Maybe my favorite book. It's that one. Dragon Reborn. It's like two, three, or four. Like Dragon Reborn. It's Great Hunt, Dragon Reborn, and then Shadow Rising. And they're all really, really good. It's like Great Hunt is kind of Rand, Matt, and Perrin. And then Dragon Reborn is Matt and Rand mostly. And then, you know, and the other characters too. But those are like the real standout characters in that book. And the fourth book is like all Perrin. And it's amazing. Which I'm looking forward to him and the wolves as well, because like, you know, some of the wolf stuff and then the wolf dream stuff, he's really cool and he's really strong.
Again, in my rewatch recently, I picked up on the fact that like these five characters are like, yes, the wheel weaves, the wheel wills, or the wheel wills is the wheel. Anyways, but these five people are definitely highlighted in the wheel. Like the wheel is not made equally for everybody.
Well, okay, so that's awesome, because that's something that is really important that the non-reader picks up on, and you'll see for the first book. Something they mention is Taviren, and it's exactly what you're saying. The wheel weaves and it doesn't care unless you're Taviren, and then you kind of can fucking like Neo that shit and you bend it around you. Like you'll make a decision that changes butterfly effect, bunch of shit. Usually, you know, like it depends on the person, but you know, most of the time if you're working towards good, it'll send positive ripples, you know. Not always, but you know, but that's cool that you see it that way, because it's exactly it.
Yeah, I'm kind of picking up where I left off in our last episode. But Luz Theron Telamon is Rand, correct?
Well, it is Luz Theron.
Is it a soul? Can I?
It's okay, a soul thing. It's a soul thing. Yes. Yes. It is a soul. They do call it a soul.
Okay. All right. Well, that helps. It's just so weird that they keep referring to him. It's like his soul is named Luz, but did his ethereal body just happen to be named Luz when the big shit went down? So everyone keeps referring to him as that.
See, I don't know. No, I don't think so. Because from what I've known from that, it's that they were like they didn't even know what war was until the Dark One's prison. Someone tried to like get to the true source. That's spoilery as hell, so I'm not getting into that. But that's how they kind of tap into the true source, which is like kind of like a direct line to the Dark One's power. But it's also like, you know, you got to sell your soul type of thing. So in the War of Power, which was these Aes Sedai that went negative, like to the Dark One for power, fought the other ones, and it was called the War of Power. So when that was happening, it was like, how do I say this?
Use your words.
He earned the name the Dragon through like his battlefield prowess and his leadership, kind of. So I was like, it bugged me a little that they called him the Dragon Reborn, because the way the story was kind of told to me is like he was the dragon, and then it was the Heroes of the Horn thing. It's like their souls of the heroes over the ages are bound to the horn. So when they blow the horn, they kind of come back like Lord of the Rings Ghost Army style, but they're just living the world of dreams until you call them with the horn, and then they show up and fight. And if you do enough noble shit, then you get attached to the horn. So
okay,
it's like but it's like that's you keep getting reborn. So it's like, as far as I know, like, he was the dragon. He did so much noble shit in his lifetime. He's the dragon, and then his soul kept getting spit out to save the world.
And then he began, and then he starts to be reborn.
Yeah, and then he's the dragon reborn. So that was a little bit confusing. Obviously, that's why I'm talking in circles right now. But
yeah,
you know, it's just, he was Luthien Telamon, and like, and that's what's actually kind of important, because at a certain point, you know, Rand does start to go mad. Spoiler. That's a big spoiler. Like, he's channeling Sidene, and he goes through shit. He gets tortured. If you want to cry, trust me, if you want to cry, jump on board of the Wheel of Time. Because he goes through so much crap that, you know, his insanity. And so he starts to hear a voice in his head. Eventually, he realizes that voice is actually Luthien Telamon. And he learns how to do things with the power that he shouldn't know how to do, but he just does them. And it's because Luthien knew how to do these things, because he was one of the greatest channelers of all time. And so you get to go through some really cool stuff with that too, even though it's terrifying at the same time, because he's going insane.
So at the beginning of the last episode, when they're talking around the baby,
right?
Is he about ready to take the baby to the source? And is that what starts all of this shit?
No, I don't. Like I said, I don't know what the significance of the baby is, because unless they're just showing that, you know, he killed everyone with a drop of his blood, including this little baby. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be like, oh, this is going to be the next dragon. Because it was never a lineage thing as far as I know. It wasn't like a bloodline thing as far as I understood, you know?
So but the man in that wasn't Luz, right?
In
that scene with the baby.
Yes, that was Luthien Telamon. That was the dragon, the dude in the black coat.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why they were speaking the old tongue and stuff.
I think you told me that last time, but it's just, yeah, the way they're talking around the baby. Yeah, that fucking baby. What the fuck's with that baby then?
I don't know. I think it's just a red herring.
Because
fuck that fucking baby.
Seriously. So I know I'm asking you to explain something that I fucking actually saw. But so those okay. So those two are talking. Why? So at that exact moment when they're having that conversation, the men have not gone crazy yet.
No.
But right after that conversation, without spoiling the whole series, what does that guy do?
So he has some, he's got like a group of his trusted advisors, loyal lieutenants, his little fucking trench coat mafia, whatever the fuck you want to call him. He's, it's called the 100 Companions, and it's him and 99 other of the most powerful male Aes Sedai. And what she's saying is, if you bring that much power to the Dark One right there, like, all he's got to do is fucking convince like two or three people to do something fucked up with their power. And just in fighting back, it was like running it through a sieve of shit. And it's like, well, my ice cream's all messed up now. It's all messed up. It's got poop all over it. Can't do it. No good.
Someone poops in your ice cream, you don't just eat the other side of your ice cream.
No.
You're done.
Well, it's like if you have a bowl of shit and you put some ice cream in it, it's still shit. If you have a bowl of ice cream and you drop one little drop of shit in it, it's over. And that's, you know what? If you're a negative person, then you're the poo in the ice cream.
There you go. You are ants at my picnic.
You are the poo in the ice cream, my man.
Dude, I have ants in my fucking kitchen right now. Fuck!
Hey, that's no joke. Lisa had ants at her old house because it was built, and it was like, it ruined so much stuff, dude.
We do okay. It's the rain. Every time it rains, it pushes them inside. And we just
live in California. It's rain.
Seriously, even the ants like freak out. They're just like, oh my God! Let's go inside. All the people run inside. All the ants run inside. Okay. That's a whole nother story.
Okay.
Holy shit. I am exhausted. Like I don't want to stop. I'm just saying, like, just like that fuck, I can't believe how much time I've made you and our listeners spend on that fucking nursery scene.
It doesn't matter.
You know why? You know why? And it's so funny because I have subtitles on all the fucking time anyways. But because it's subtitled and I can't hear what they're fucking talking about, it just won't sink in. I read the words and they don't. I'm just like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then,
okay. Jesus Christ. Well, and I hope that go, you know, when as they go through the next season, I hope they keep doing the music because the ones that they've had in there are so, like, especially, you know, I'm wondering, there's a Forsaken. His name's Asmodian. And they better not leave him out because he's pretty important to Rand's arc. But he supposedly went to the Dark One because he wanted to live forever and just compose music and everything. But then he kind of got into being a bad guy and he started like torturing other composers and cutting their tongues out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if maybe like he wrote that thing that Tom was singing.
Oh, yeah.
The, you know, the man who can't forget. It's like it almost seems like mocking. If you listen to it a different way, like if it was written by someone who believed in the shadow, it's like mocking.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just one guy's opinion. And Pod and Fane is like his there till the end in the books too. And he causes all kinds of problems, but he starts to get like, he's very sane and calculating right now. And I'm wondering if that will change.
Is Pod and Fane, is he, he's not part of the White Cloaks, is he?
No, he's just a dark friend who's been on the hunt for the dragon for 20 years. That's what he says. He's like, do you think I came to your little shithole town because I liked it there? He's like, I was looking for you guys.
So dark friend, is that an official term or is that just another ant at the picnic?
No, dark friend is like people who don't channel or anything like that, but they've kind of sold their soul to the devil for promises of riches on the, you know, the day of reckoning or whatever.
So there's no one... he's just a disciple of the Dark Force in general, not of an actual group. Like,
yeah, but he is more than just your average dark friend. You know, he's been to Shael Gol. He's taken these oaths that are like, you can't break them. They're in his bones. You know, he's kind of like a bloodhound that's been put on the scent and he couldn't stop if he wanted to.
Getting so excited. I'm just kind of scrolling through Wikipedia and just reading all of these. There's so fucking much. Like, we've got the Leafers. We've got the White Cloaks. We've got the Pod and Fane fuckers. We've got gross Trollocs running amok.
Yeah, you know, the Dark Friend hierarchy. You know, it's like they're like sleeper cells. No, you know, it's crazy. Also, you know, I wonder, is Moraine stilled or is she just severely shielded? Because if she is stilled, she can lie because that breaks that bond. Because she, you know, so... That would be a quick way to tell. If she lies, she's probably stilled. Also, if she's stilled and not just severely, unless the Forsaken can do something crazy, which they probably can, you know. But then Lan, that's why Lan can't feel her, because the bond should be gone as well. Because the bond is something of the power, so she, you know.
Well, he can't feel her because he asks her to unmask the bond at the end.
Right. Exactly. So that's what kind of leads me to believe that she might actually be stilled from, like, you know, that's forever. As far as you know, Aes Sedai and warders can kind of sense the Dark One or like Trollocs, you know, just, you know, if there's evil around, they're kind of like, they get like that itch, you know, between their shoulder blades and they know what it is. But like that would probably be gone too if she's cut off from the power. You know, so like I said, I don't know. I'm curious to see where that goes. And then, you know, Matt, it looked like he was back in Tar Valon. And there is a kind of a storyline later of Suan. How do I say this? Oh, screwing everything up. Things don't go great for her, and she ends up having to go. And there's a storyline with her and Loghain and Min kind of traveling as a party. And I'm wondering if maybe somehow Matt will get folded into that story. Or there's just so much stuff. Like they haven't introduced the Andor royal line at all. There's some really big pieces of plot that they so. How are they going to introduce them in season two? I don't know.
Oh, Shadar Logoth.
You're just reading the whole time.
Are we going to go back there?
They should go back there eventually. There's at least one big battle back there. Maybe two. And it's like, I guess the imitation is the greatest form of flattery because the opening is so awesome. But it's kind of like a ripoff of Game of Thrones a little bit. Like just the way it kind of rolls out. But it's much better.
opening of the series?
Yeah, like the way you open, like just the opening credits.
Oh, yeah. Well, except, yeah, I keep waiting for this one to start changing the way.
It will. I could tell you some ways it'll change if you want.
Okay. Do you recognize any of the Aes Sedai in the opening? Like, are those going to be people we actually meet, or are they just random colored? Is it just their seven cloaks?
You know, I'm not sure because I haven't paid that closely attention, but I would guess that they're probably historical Aes Sedai that we've heard about in the books, but I just don't know what they look like. I don't know everything.
I know. It's so funny. Every time I'm like, okay, fucking watch, pay attention, see if any of this matters. And then part of me is like, oh, I got to go do something real quick before the actual episode starts. And then I fucking miss it again. But we'll watch the shit out of it when we do our commentary episodes starting next week.
Exactly. And when I just like, I'm so excited to just see how things go. Because like, honestly, the first time that you're introduced to Leandrin in the books, I think it's the second book. And she's, I don't know if she's trying to kill Rand, but she's definitely doing some shit to him with the power. And he's like, what the hell is happening? And dude, there's a character called Varen Sedai that, man, she has to be in the books, man. Her arc and her story is so awesome. And she should be coming season two, I hope.
Dude, this is making me want the next season so fucking bad.
It's really cool because I think we're going to see a lot more power, a lot more of the One Power being used. There's old talents that are being rediscovered that have been lost. Like there's something called traveling, and we talked about that a little bit. They can just rip a hole in the pattern and step through somewhere else, but you got to be really strong. But like there's all kinds of stuff, you know, the making of Terra Angriel, just all kinds of stuff is going to be starting to get rediscovered. I'm really excited to see that. And there's some stuff with Lan and Rand in the Great Hunt that I somehow hope they're able to do because it's really good. I don't want to say bromance, maybe more mentorship. But Lan kind of takes him under his wing and starts teaching him how to fight with the sword and. Like, you got to be a man, sheepherder. If someone doesn't call Rand sheepherder, it's getting to me, man.
He's a berry picker. In the show, he's not a sheepherder. He's a fucking berry picker.
He's the leader of the sheep, damn it. Also, one of the things I noticed is that Ishmael in that last scene, he had that little brass knuckly thing that Luz Theron had. It's a Terra Angriel of some sort, obviously, but it's, you know, I don't know.
Is that what you have coming to you? You said you ordered a ring?
No, Lisa got me a ring for Christmas. It's really cool, but I'm going to have to take it back and get it resized because it like only fits my pinky. It just wasn't big enough. But it's tungsten and it's black and then it's got like silver Celtic dragons eating their own tail.
Yes.
It's amazing. Yes, it's amazing.
Very cool.
So, it's going to be a long ride, man. I'm so excited and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm so excited for so many things. And it's like some things like, I hope they don't bring in too early. But then at the same time, I'm kind of like, man, would that be bad? Would it really be that bad?
This has been amazing. Like I was, I'm excited to talk to you. I'm liking the show, all of this stuff. But we were like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to do the commentaries next week, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize how badly I needed to just be like, and then like this has been such a great post season one regurgitation, I guess.
I know. I thought, I was like, oh man, you know, what am I going to talk about? And then I started kind of just reading through my Twitter timeline. I actually shouted out to a couple people. I was like, hey, I'm probably going to like bring up your names and some conversations that we've had. So just let you know.
Oh yeah. Do you have anything specific on Twitter, people, questions?
No, I kind of just covered, the stuff that I was interested in and I had conversations with. What was it? I think that's pretty much it too, man. Is just, another thing, Peyton Fane, if he stabbed people with that dagger from Shadar Logoth in the books, all you need is a paper cut from that thing and you're done. So, I don't.
Does he have Matt's dagger?
He's got Matt's dagger. Yeah, he's got the dagger. So I don't know what's up with that.
Now, could Moraine could Moraine maybe taken some of the power away from it when she did whatever she did? That's a scene I got to watch.
No, because it's like it's more like a cursed thing, and so
okay,
it's its own thing. Honestly, I'm gonna tell you non-spoilery. If Moraine is still then her and Nynaeve are gonna, it's, and then I think they might be doing it that way because there's so much animosity between Nynaeve and Moraine at first, but they actually get like pretty kindred in the end.
Oh.
Because, you know, Nynaeve takes land, you know, like, or Moraine gives land to Nynaeve at a certain point, you know, which I think they're setting that up earlier rather than later. But I mean, it's so great. Oh, one more conversation that someone actually pointed out before we go is that the whole linking thing at the end where all the channeling women almost die.
Yes.
Like Nynaeve almost dies or whatever. I don't know what's up with Egwene healing her because she's not super known for healing, but maybe she picked up some stuff when she was with the yellow Aja with Perrin, you know, because what's like, once you see a weave, you can kind of do it sometimes, like if you're strong enough type of thing. So maybe she learned some sort of healing from them. I don't know. But the thing with Annalisa is I got to go back and watch this, and you should too, and tell me what you think. When I think it's Lyandrin is linked in the beginning when they're have Loghain under wraps or whatever. She's leading the circle, I believe. And they're like, you're drawing on too much. And her face starts to get all glowy. Do the other Aes Sedai start to get all glowy? Or I think it's just Lyandrin. So it's like, if Lyandrin's leading the circle and she's drawing so much that she almost burns herself out, when Annalisa has got the circle, her weaves look more like they're stabbing through the people and she's drawing the power through them. In the Aes Sedai circle, it's more like they're feeding Lyandrin their power so they can cut it off whenever they want. At that point, it's like she's in control, and if she doesn't act right, then they're all fucked.
Yes.
And so, and I don't know, you know, they talked about their armor. Maybe her armor has some sort of, it's a Turangriel or something and helps with linking or something. But it's like, I have to go back and look at, because someone pointed out, I think it was, I can't remember. I'm sorry. I think it might be Ruark takes the fifth. What's up, dude? If it's who. Just the link, like the way it kind of stabbed through Nynaeve and Egwene kind of was kind of different than the other chicks were kind of like, here you go. And she was like, Annalisa was like, give me that.
Yeah.
And it's like someone who wasn't strong enough to make the shawl to have access to Nynaeve and Egwene's power is just like, it's a bad idea.
Yeah. That's like getting that raw, when you're used to having shit stepped on and then you get some of that raw good. It's real quick. So yeah, with the, I forget which way it goes, because I know at the end of episode 8, Egwene and Nynaeve end up healing each other. Do you remember which order it goes in?
Oh, do they heal each other? I thought she just healed.
Well, because one of them almost dies healing one of them, and I'm wondering if that's the one who shouldn't be healing at all. And then...
Oh, I'm thinking that then it must be Nynaeve using the last of her strength to cut that link, heal Egwene, and then Egwene jumps up and heals her.
Yeah.
Probably because she just... instinct, because that's one of the things Egwene is kind of like Rand with the power. She starts to discover old talents with some help and with some natural instincts, because she's gritty, man. She's a really good character, but she's not super loyal. She's loyal to her beliefs, you know.
Because yeah, Nynaeve didn't so much heal Egwene as she gave her life force.
I mean, yeah.
And then Egwene, because she almost died doing it.
Yeah, it was more like healing, though. You had it right the first time. I don't know what the life force thing is. No.
Well, if it almost killed her, Egwene then had to turn around and actually heal Nynaeve.
Yeah, well, Nynaeve's like she just heals like naturally. That's kind of, I think that's where they're going, is because the whole, there's another thing, conversation. It's like the moving of the hands. You watch when Ishmael's channeling, he moves his fingers barely. Yeah. And, you know, Moraine's got this like theatrical, like she's like looking like a conductor of an orchestra. And it's, I think it's like just the longer, I mean, you got to think Ishmael's been working with the power for 5,000 years, 4,000 years. I don't know.
Well, and they already say it. I think what's his name? One of them says it's just an affectation anyways. So they kind of gloss over that for people who read the books and are just like, they shouldn't have to wave their hands at all.
Yeah.
Someone mentions it as it being an affectation, that it's not necessary.
Yeah, it's
necessary.
Kind of a crutch. Yeah, it's kind of a crutch. So I don't need to grind up my weed before I pack a bowl, but it's what I do. It's what I do.
It makes it good.
I only drink Dr. Pepper on ice. Only podcast with no pants.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
Fucking doc, your diet Dr. Pepper, you weirdo.
Fucking love it.
But man, that's all I got, I think.
Yeah, I could, like I said, this was a perfect info dump after season one. Everybody, we're going to do full-length commentaries for every episode, which will be a great chance for me to just sit through them, because, like I said, I love having these on, but I'm having a little trouble, like, refocusing and watching these episodes again.
Yeah.
And I know that's going to, and it'll be kind of different, because we're not going to pause it or anything. So if Justin and I talk over a scene because our dogs are doing something weird, then that's just the way it is.
That's how it goes. Oh, God. And if anybody out there listening does interact with us on Twitter, the thing that I love most is that I started posting pictures of the boys, you know, and you put Chip and what's your other dog's name?
Diesel.
So Chip and Diesel, and then Winston and Thor. And then I put that video up of Winston's little girlfriend, Birdie. She's a chocolate lab that lives at the top of the hill.
Oh,
and so people were like sending pictures of their dogs. That's like the best thing. I'm like, yes, this is all I ever wanted in my life. I want to see a million fucking dogs a day. Cats, any kind of pets, man, all kinds of pets.
Wolf Brothers, baby. Wolf Brothers, yeah. All day. If you have any questions or comments or things you want us to focus on when we're doing our commentary rewatch, if you're like, hey, pay attention to this scene and let me tell you, do you see what I see? Send those questions or comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. Thankthelight@gmail.com. Or hit Fatty up at Parched Ailment on Twitter and say, hey, you know, you can drop a quick comment in there. If you are interested in any other podcasts, please go to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. I am really excited. We got a lot of great podcasts on there, but I'm super excited. January 6th, Time Pop is coming back, everybody. We talk about a different time travel movie every other week, and we are kicking off the new season, the return, the comeback with Tenet. So we will see you January 6th. And Fatty.
Yeah, dude, just rate us, guys. You know, hit us up. Let us know what you want to talk about. I love interacting with it. Couple of shouts out. Most of these, like a lot of these things that I, you know, and I'm not going to put out your actual ad. I just, the people who know, you know, that you've been interacting with me. Eagle Eyes Sedai, she let me know that it was on at 4 o'clock on Thursday. So thank you. And she's got a lot of great, like, back and forth. The dude goes by Moradin. Obviously, he's a book guy. Uno Bloody Nomesta is a good follow. Uno's Eye Patch. Let's see. Sulin of the Goshen Isle. Ruark Takes the Fifth. And Snakes and Foxes. All you guys, I've had a lot of fun, and you guys have great theories and, like, speculation. It's super fun. And keep up the positivity and the good work.
Hell yeah. Like Fatty said, rate and review, or at least tell somebody, you know?
Yeah, tell a friend or a family member.
You like the show. If you like the podcast, chances are you know some people like you. Have them check it out.
If you're really committed, buy a homeless guy a burner. Have him download Apple. Yes. Wait, what? No, don't do that.
No, do that. Yeah, I like where you're going. I don't have a problem with this.
Let's, you know what? We want Wheel of Time to be the biggest shit.
Thank the light.
Tell your shade of your heart, Kelly, I said hi, and I'm going to go hang out with the shade of my heart, and may you always find water and shade. Happy New Year.
Get gaza hit de wado shai goma and sautak saramela kasen.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.